Hey guys, it's Felicia. I am still somewhere in the world, vacationing, luxuriating, you know, just living my best life right now, trying to get my life together, y'all. And while I take this much needed respite, I have something fabulous for you. You don't want to miss this. Attorney Anitra is back with legal therapy. Attorney Anitra,
take it away.
Welcome to the Trill MBA Takeover with Attorney Anitra. We are talking about legal therapy, and if you've ever heard me speak, you know I'm heavy on legal. I want my people to be protected and get paid when work stops working. But on this program, I'm going to focus on the therapy side, and no, I'm not a licensed therapist or counselor, but I am a counselor at law. And what I found is that I become a really important part of a client's emotional journey. If you call me and you ask me for help, you are going through one of the more traumatic events of your life. So I've learned and I've studied trauma-informed lawyering so that I'm not just throwing a whole bunch of law at you, I'm better understanding you as a person. I don't think it's a coincidence that I began to really uncover the need for this emotional journey and the support along that journey until I myself needed it. When I came out of law school, I started my practice right away and I began to be a mover and a shaker in my community. I was rubbing elbows with high-powered businessmen and judges who sat on the Supreme Court in our state. But then I hit rock bottom when I started to go through a divorce. I was so mad. Right when it seemed like all my hard work was paying off, here I was in a situation where I felt like I had to start from scratch. It's no coincidence that it was during the same time I wanted to completely give up practicing law. I just didn't have anything left to give. But fortunately, friends continued to send me clients and say, just look out for this person. Potential clients would find me and say, let me be your last case. And I'm 8 years into this journey. And I'm finally like, okay, maybe I'm an attorney and maybe I didn't go anywhere because I've had like 30 last clients. So thank you guys for believing in me and not letting me give up, but I'm not going to let you give up either. So I want to share with you the process that I went through to get to this place of acceptance, to get to this place of emotional fortitude so that I could answer my call. And this process is clarify you before you qualify them. Clarify you before you qualify them. Before you qualify a job, before you qualify a client, before you qualify a relationship, clarify who you are. Man, I went through this process and I emerged from the very uncomfortable journey at times, a better version of myself, the best version of myself, the version of myself who can encounter drama anywhere and know how to navigate my way out. And that's what I want to teach you. So we're going to go over this process, and you're never going to believe the acronym that goes with it.
What is it?
It's clarify. Clarify. C-L-A-R-I-F-Y. That's what we're going to be talking about. So come with me on this journey. Let's go deeper. We are talking about clarifying you. And the C in clarify stands for context.
Oh.
Context. What does context mean? Context is the story. You can show up and you can be the professional Black woman, the professional minority in the workplace. You can check the checkbox to say that I should be protected. And if you do anything to me, I can sue you. Call me if that needs to happen. But really, to really understand when something is being done to you unfairly, you have to understand not just the legal protected class that you occupy, you have to understand your entire story that informed who you are. And two questions I want you to ask yourself. This is not to say nobody is responsible for how they treat you. We're going to hold people accountable. But I'm talking about having the ability to manage and understand yourself so that you know how to navigate your way out of drama. The first question you need to ask yourself, what are my triggers? What are my triggers? I'm not going to say the second question is why, because I think that's, you know, an obvious place to go. But that doesn't always give us the information that we need because we don't always know why. So here's the second question I want you to ask yourself. After asking yourself, what are my triggers? I then want you to ask yourself, when was the first time I felt like that? When was the first time I felt like that? So what are my triggers? You know, somebody does this and I feel like X. And when was the first time you felt like X is how this is going to go. So I'll give you an example. I often get triggered when there's chaos everywhere. And my response to chaos is to go and immediately try to fix it because there's anxiety around the chaos. I feel very unsafe and insecure. When I go in and I try to fix everything, I feel much more in control and I feel like I'm needed, like I'm important because I helped come up with a solution. When did I first feel like that? Well, the first time I felt triggered by chaos was after my parents split up. I was the first girl of my family. Ultimately, I would be the middle of five children. I was a daddy's girl. And that was probably because my father lost his mother, my grandmother, months before I was born. So she was actually brutally murdered in February of the year I was born, and I was born in December. So the K in my name is Kathleen. I use it to honor her, even though I didn't have a chance to meet her. And me and my dad have just always had just such a close connection. And ultimately, I believe that trauma just fractured my family and my parents just weren't able to stay together. So my mother eventually moved us into her parents' home in San Diego. So we were born in LA, they moved to San Diego. And chaos began to ensue as my mother was a single parent. And without my father being there to dote on me, for me to be his shadow, I felt insecure. I felt unsafe. All of a sudden, everything was just up in the air as we were just trying to make it. So I came in. And number one, I just want to give honor to my mom because, oh my gosh, five kids is a lot to handle. But we are all alive and accounted for. So I thank her for that. But as you're trying to figure out and manage all of that craziness, I felt like I was getting lost in the shuffle. So when I began to show up and help out more and take care of my younger two siblings and, you know, pacify the situation as tempers were flaring, I was the peacemaker in the family. I was the connector in the family. And just that moment of calm and just a little less sanity for a moment was all that I needed to just kind of feel like both feet were on the ground. Well, this idea of my triggers and what was happening in my childhood, that carried me into some situations where I would continually feel isolated. So I had a gift for reading, so they stuck me in the gifted program. I'm only 3% of students who get into this program, and Black students are even a very small percentage of that. So I began to feel very isolated and different. There was nothing that I could really do to fit in. So if I saw chaos in those situations, I would run towards the chaos so I would have a place. This behavior would then follow me into my dating life, ultimately led to me choosing who I chose to get married to. And so when I found myself willing to pacify other people just to have a secure spot, it just stopped being a workable solution. Because I'm not a child anymore. And life is more complicated as you get older. So my context completely informed how I began conducting myself in my adult life. So now when I show up as an attorney, now when I need to have a place and I need people to listen to me, I was finding in my early clients that we were running into some walls. One of my early clients, I ended up getting this huge settlement for her, and ultimately she didn't take it. Now, if you get offered something, you don't have to take it as a client. But the situation here was that she had not paid me. This was completely on contingency, and I worked over a year on this case. When I'm just starting out as an attorney, I need to figure out how to actually make a law practice run. And ultimately, my context was running up against her context. Her context was as an older woman who was a mother. She had tragically lost her husband. Her sense of control needed to dictate what was going to happen, even though communication wasn't always direct and I didn't always know what was going on. My context was running up against this situation because I thought I could come and pacify everything. I thought that I could come and resolve everything, and that would lower the anxiety in the situation and this person would listen to me. But I started to notice, okay, this person is not listening to my voice. And this was really the case where I started to feel like an attorney, because I had to stand up for myself. And I said, no, you're not going to be someone who is going to dictate my professional judgment. I know what to decide here to look out for myself. I don't have to come in and rescue every single situation. All the time when you make a decision, that decision is on you, and I get to decide whether I want to be a part of it or not. This is when I started to grow up. So what are your triggers? How do you feel when those triggers happen? And then when was the first time you felt that way? The trigger should let you know, like, what your emotion, your corresponding emotion was. I want you to do something, and this is something that you can take with you. And we're going to talk about it when we come back. Welcome back. We are talking about our context and how that plays a role in clarifying us. Clarify you before you qualify them. So I already talked about how you need to figure out what your triggers are and when you first started to feel triggered in that way. So this is what I want you to do. As you travel through your journey, as you become more acquainted and aware of your story, I want you to keep something in mind. I want you to be well. Watch your emotions, listen, and learn. YES is another acronym. No, I don't plan on acronyming you to death. However, I do want you to have some tools as you're taking notes and as you listen to this again and again, because my clients are going to have this full program, because I'm going to have to start charging people extra for all the life coaching that I've had to do. Yeah, I'm proud of the transformation. But what I've learned is that if you really want this transformation, whether it's working with me or just doing the work in general, you have to be well. You have to watch your emotions, listen, and learn. And when I look back on all of my difficult clients, there was this lack of wellness, this lack of being able to watch their emotions, to listen, and to learn. They couldn't do it. Now, some clients, it turns out that there might have been an actual neurodiversity issue going on, which is totally fine. We just have to be able to peel back the layers and face the truth for what it is. And the truth can set you free. So So be well. Unwellness is going to create problems with how I practice law, because I'm the only attorney that I know who walks clients through these processes, both in clarifying themselves and also in increasing their knowledge in employment discrimination. Because I realized that once you are at a place of emotional stability, and I teach you what to go look for to prove that these people are hating on you and it's illegal, your eyes open up. You can see the evidence. You go into the workplace, you get me what I need, and I present it to the companies, and they settle with us quickly. Not always, but I believe my track record is pretty fast. You know, as far as when you compare this process with other attorneys, they wait for you to be fired. And I'm not faulting them for that. That's where the damages are. They can't factor what to actually get you compensated for until there's a loss. But with me, I walk you through the process because I can predict that there's going to be a loss and we want to be ready when it happens. So be well. I've had clients learn to watch their emotions, listen, and learn. I've had the client who, even though she was passed up for a promotion and she was ready to walk out the door and her company was ready for her to walk out the door, she decided to be well. She watched her emotions and she listened to me and she learned what I was teaching her. And we put together such a solid case. We had her case settled in about a month from when I first approached the legal team on the other side. And more importantly than a settlement, which was solid, her transformation just tickles me. I remember she had got an extra charge on her credit card bill. And it was something that was, you know, could have been insignificant, but she decided to challenge it. Because she had a newfound sense of clarity of who she was and what she was and was not going to allow. She was able to develop her new standard based on the clarity she had for herself. And I remember being so proud, and it just seemed so small, but it was big. And I've seen her blossom as a person. And that, for me, is why I do this work. Once I clarified who I was, I better understood the people who were going to come find me and who I was called to serve. Your context is going to inform why you keep fighting. Your context is going to really allow you to put those puzzle pieces together of what's triggering you so you can equip yourself with the right tools. When I did my process, when I realized the role that I played in the demise of my marriage, I understood that there are very real personality issues that I had that allowed me to be a codependent. That I was supporting unhealthy behaviors in other people just so I could feel that I belonged. So when I got that clarity, I said, you know what? I'll be by myself. I'll work on myself. And it was hard. It was a multi-year process of seeing if I was really going to stick by this commitment to not bend my standard just to feel like I belong somewhere. In that process, I created this program. In that process, I created AA Legal Therapy. In that process, I established my standard for who I was going to be when I showed up. And guess what? I ended up meeting the man of my dreams. By the time you listen to this, we will be officially married. And even though I left my first marriage really heartbroken because I didn't have children, and I often wondered in my clarify process if I was wasting the most precious years of my life, along with this man comes two children, and our hearts knitted together so quickly. Those are my babies, and I'm trying not to cry. But, oh my gosh, I found the place where I belong. And I don't have to rush into the chaos just to have a place. They affirm me, and it's a real big honor because my children call me Kat, and it reminds me of my grandmother's legacy. And what was broken in her family, I have a chance to put together with mine as I move forward. So that's what I want for you. Be well, watch your emotions, listen and learn. Let's walk through this process together. Let's do the work in clarifying you because I'm going to teach you in AA Legal Therapy how to qualify them, to qualify if they're discriminating against you. I can walk you through the qualification process to get you a check for you to quit. That's honestly the easy part these days. The harder part is clarifying us. This is Attorney Anitra, AA Legal Therapy. I'll see you for session 2. We're going to talk about the L in clarify, which is legacy. We've looked to our past to figure out our story. Now let's look to the future and talk about what we want to leave behind. I'll see you next time.